Welcome to this podcast. It's making me thirsty, the number one destination for Seinfeld fans. This is episode 168. Today's guest is a contributor to the Howie Carr Show, a columnist for the Boston Herald, a frequent contributor to Fox News, producer of the Dirty Rats podcast series, and host of the Grace Curley Show. And of course, she's a longtime Seinfeld fan. We're excited to have her join us. Please welcome Grace Curley. Grace, thanks you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Grace, welcome to the show. So take us back. You're obviously a younger Seinfeld fan. Milton, Massachusetts, I believe you grew up. Tell us a little bit how you became a Seinfeld fan. I mean, we all have a story. Obviously, it was during reruns that you probably caught up with, but we'd love to hear how you kind of got into the show.
Yeah, so my mom, both my mom and dad, but I would say more so my mom was a huge Seinfeld fan. And you know, when you're a kid, it's like you just want to watch TV. So whatever is going to allow you to watch the most TV, you will adapt to it. And so I think we all knew it was like the same reason I drank Diet Coke. My dad drank Diet Coke. I knew that was the soda that was going to be available. So from a young age, I knew I can watch Seinfeld whenever I want because it's something my mom enjoys. She won't tell me to turn it off. And I really enjoyed, and I still do, which is funny, but my mom is a, I don't know if this is going to make sense to people. She's a tough laugh. Like she doesn't laugh at everything. And sometimes she gets really silly watching Seinfeld. Like there's certain scenes that really make her laugh. And so as a kid, I always loved watching that. And then now when I watch those scenes back, I know which scenes really cracked her up and it makes me laugh. And that's where I kind of got my love for it.
That's great. It's interesting. We talked to a comedian named Mark Normand, and he told us a very similar story. His dad didn't laugh at anything, and he would watch Seinfeld with him, and he would laugh. So we get the like tough crack, you know, laugh joke that you said.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And it's great that the show, a child and a parent can both enjoy it and get it on that level, which is always fun. I mean, obviously, you've been watching it ever since. So, you know, I always think it's interesting to have watched it kind of out of context on reruns and kind of gotten into it at that angle. Has anything changed in your fandom from when you first started watching it and loving it those times with your mom as a kid to like now that you're older and watching it? Are you picking up on things? Is there more episodes that stick out than they did prior? Are you, you know, has anything like changed as far as what you get and what you're laughing at? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think too now, like having an interest in the backstory of what was actually, I'm always fascinated about when how a show comes to be and how it starts off and, you know, every pilot that goes into the lineup, there's a good chance it's not going to succeed. And I think Seinfeld, for me, I was always interested in that when I would, you know, Google it or Wikipedia and you read about how no one really thought it was going to be. I mean, there was obviously people who believed in it, but a lot of people were doubtful. A lot of people didn't think it was great. And you can see that if you watch it through, because when I was younger, we had the DVDs for season. Again, we got them for my mom for her birthday for seasons 1 and 2. And the DVDs, it was like, I would just watch those episodes again and again and again, the first and second. And it's crazy how if you watch the later seasons, which now I tend to go for the later seasons if I'm watching it at home, you can see how much the show grew and how really, I don't want to say rusty because I don't mean it as a bad thing, but how they figured out the characters, especially like Kramer as the show went on. He wasn't the same Kramer in the very beginning and just kind of the dynamics were very different. And so I think if that makes sense, I don't know. It's not really my journey, but that's when I watch it through. I tend to go for the older seasons, but I watched a lot of the first and second season.
When you say late, so you, all right, we'll get to that. So how old were you when you first started with your mom? Do you remember? What's the first?
Always on in the house.
Well, what was the first episode that you remember? Like, was there one that you're like, that was it, I'm hooked, or seeing your mom laugh at it, whatever?
Yeah, I think the episode where the one I remember watching a lot was where Susan's parents meet George's parents and they're all sitting around.
Yeah, the rye.
And my mom always thought that it's, and she still says this line all the time, where where George's dad says there's something missing, and she says there's something missing, all right. Like that, the way she said that, and that was an episode that we would watch all the time because it was so funny. And also, I love, and I was telling you guys this before, but and I don't know if other people, maybe I'm just not as much of a diehard as I should be, but I don't think of it as like episodes. I really do. They all kind of glom together in my mind, and I think of it as like moments. So one moment I always go back to is Kramer is the movie phone guy, because for some reason it's like a quote that I can use all the time. Like when someone, when you're not giving someone the answer they want and you go, why don't you just tell me the name of the thing that you want me to say? Like that's a moment that sticks out for me. So in my family, we're big quote people. So we'd always throw around like certain quotes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a couple of years ago. We actually had a March Madness of quotes, essentially from 64 down to one. But so, and I saw on Twitter, I'll call you out on this. You said Merv Griffin was a top five episode for you. Still hold true?
Yeah, I do. I love that episode. I just think it's so cute, like how they're all just coming in and onto the set. And it's like, it's so bizarre, but everyone's kind of just on board for it. And it reminds me of, Kramer reminds me a little bit. I also love The Office, and he reminds me sometimes of Michael Scott. Like he's so out there, but they all love him and they're kind of allowing him to be out there. And yeah, that still holds true for me. I was looking back at old tweets today to see which ones I had mentioned in the past. And yeah, I still did love that one because that's the one at the same time where the squirrel is injured, right?
Yes.
And that's a great subplot of George, because even though it's so weird with the squirrel, it's also like everyone's been in that position where you have some animal that you're like, are we about to spend $6,000 on this animal's broken? Like, you know what I mean? Everyone's had that kind of question. And so when the doctor looks at him and is like, yeah, it's, we can save its life. I love that so much.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, usually it's not a squirrel, maybe your pet or something, I can say, but yeah, to each your own. To us, the earlier seasons you're talking about, as you, when you mentioned like how the show changed, it definitely changed. We tend to go more for the earlier seasons, although I love The Ride. That's one of my favorite episodes, the one you brought up. I love the Who's Having Sex with a Chicken, obviously, is a great line, the whole conversation there. Just the parents meeting each other. I'm always a sucker for the parents, so I get that. But it's also interesting how you mentioned that you don't think of it so much as episodes, which a lot of people don't. And it's usually, if you weren't watching it live as it was airing and you watch it out of order, then that makes sense too, because you don't really get the episodes don't click as much as they would if you watched them, each one before they, and as they happen. Right. So that makes sense. But as far as lines go, like Chris mentioned, we did do a lines bracket, and so we're big on lines. I know you had sent a bunch over to us that are kind of up there for you too, so love to bounce some of those off for you. Like, just I could see it in how you're talking about it, you get excited, so it is fun to hear you know, some of your favorite lines. Why don't you just tell me, the movie's a great one. I know you had mentioned that Elaine and Kramer dynamic you enjoyed a lot, which you know, you don't early on, one of the best episodes, and this might be not as one that you, I don't know, we'll let you tell us, but because we just reviewed this episode, but when they go to get the jacket from the landlord, and it's her and the two of them are there, and Kramer's pretending that they're together, they pretended together with the therapist. Yes. That time, right? All those kind of dynamics. Maybe you can take us through some of your favorite Kramer and Elaine.
You know what's a great, like one of the parts that really makes me laugh is when they're outside the doctor's office, or he's going in to get her files at one point, and he looks at her and he says, and it's Bennett, right? And she goes, Venice. You idiot. Like, how long have you known me for? I love that line. And yeah, I also really love, which I'm sure you guys are super into, I love the bloopers between Elaine and Kramer, because I find that he is so serious, and I get that because he is really a genius and he's trying to like capture the moment. But I also don't blame Julia Louis-Dreyfus for not being able to stop laughing. And one of the scenes we always used to go back to in my house was when they're trying to get the electricity to go out, and Kramer has like the paperclip And he looks at Elaine and he's like, okay, now you just have to stick it. Now you just have to stick it in the socket. And she's like, I don't want to stick it in the socket. You stick it in. And he's like, no, just do it. Just do it. And the reason I love that is because I know I keep mentioning my parents are going to kill me, but my mom always used to joke around that one time their engine went out or their car went out or whatever, and they had to jump start it. And my dad got the, what do you even call them? Like the jumper cables. And he connected them to the, he connected one and then he had to connect the other. And he said to my mom, like, okay, now just connect it. And then it will. And my mom's like, I'm not doing it. You're doing it. And he's like, no, just do it. And then it will all be fine. And my mom always said that reminded her so much of it, because you can tell that Kramer is scared of the shock. And so I love that scene. I love the sliding the deli meat into the cat. Like the whole thing is just, that for me is one of the best moments ever. And the bloopers for that are really good too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the reason the show connects with so many of us and he's plugged by your parents is the relatability, right? Like, these are things that you can relate to, as bizarre as they were, especially in the later seasons, definitely relatable. All right, so, Elaine and Kramer, you like. Yeah, we love combos too. Elaine and Kramer, I love in the limo, one of our favorite episodes when they're out in the street and Kramer's doing the 360. And again, there's two types of Elaine. We talk about this a lot. There's, poofy Elaine, cutesy Elaine, which we love. And then obviously later seasons Elaine, where she's kind of a tough, rugged, businesswoman. And again, we know you're a fan of Elaine, but Jerry and Elaine, let's talk about those combos. What are some of your favorite Jerry and Elaine's? I mean, some of ours clearly, not the airport episode, sorry, alternate side when they're going for
Yes, I was just
the
going to
rental
say
car. Yeah, I think their chemistry is amazing, especially in the actually throughout. But those are some of our favorites. I know you mentioned the airport, which is one of our favorites, as a great dynamic. Tell us a little about what you love about Jerry and Elaine, and you're glad they never got together, right? I'm assuming.
yes, 100%. I always think when, God, that's bringing me to another show I just finished where they got people did get together and I was like, oh God. No, but I really love, and I just saw this clip of Jerry. It was on probably on Instagram or something, but he was at some award show and he was talking about Julia Louis-Dreyfus and he said, I'm not a good actor. And I wouldn't disagree. Like, I think that you can tell that, especially in the beginning, he's a novice, but I still love his style of acting. I find him to be so likable that I think it kind of overrides that. But he said she made it so easy because we genuinely really like each other and we find each other so funny. And one thing I will say is that, and I'm not trying to say that I'm any sort of actor because I'm not, but I was a theater major in college, and I always found it really difficult to laugh, like to fake laugh, even harder than crying or anything like that. I always found that I didn't have a real good, believable laugh. And I don't know if they all just found each other so funny, but Elaine, to me, as an actor, has one of the best laughs. Like, she, every time she laughs on that show, I laugh because I really do believe that she's finding it funny. And when you just talked about the rental scene, what I love about that scene is that you can watch him talking to the woman. But if you watch her watching him, it's even funnier because she's kind of going like, Like, it's all in their expressions and their back and forth, and they're so reactive to each other. And the other thing I love that she does sometimes in the show is she'll call him like Jerome, or she'll say things like that, and that always cracks me up. But yeah, for the two of them, I always think it's small things that I find really funny, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And you're right. Yeah, I've seen that too. A lot of actors on interviews always say fake laughing is the hardest. And to your point, I don't think they're ever fake laughing on the show. You could tell they're just getting along and it's definitely comes through. We talked about Kramer, you talked about Elaine, and now you just talked about Jerry. We haven't talked about George, who for our money is probably our favorite character. Especially the first five seasons of him when he's kind of that lovable loser and living with his parents and the whole thing there. Just to us, that's the George we love. We had mentioned how the show kind of evolved, and later on, he gets a little bit more outlandish, a lot of screaming, a little bit more animated. His stories, the squirrel stories, a little bit more far fetched in our mind, rather than you know him like, you know, leaving a message on a machine and not being able to get it back, kind of thing with a girl. But anyway, for our money, George is one of the best characters, and I was trying to get your take on some of your favorite George stuff, or if you feel the same way, or if you don't, I don't know.
No, I totally do. He to me is, I guess the more I think about it, I think he is the, I don't want to say like meatiest character, but I think that he floats a lot of the episodes. Like a lot of them revolve around him. And it's probably because not only is he so talented, but he has very close dynamics with each of the other characters. Like him and Jerry are so, you know, everyday best friends. And he's also a really funny combo with Kramer. Like when him and Kramer are in the wine shop and he's got the puffy jacket on and, you know, he's so annoyed with Kramer and he can't believe it. And then also just anytime he's with his parents, I mean, that is just, it's perfect. When they're eating dinner together, and the ketchup, like every, you can like feel that he's ready to kill them at all times. And it's so funny. But no, I love George. I really do. I'm like kind of blanking on what my favorite George moments are right now. Oh, I also love, I love how you see Larry David and you see a lot of Curb in George, like when he gives the idea of the kids' names. We always talk about that in my house because people's names are getting crazier and crazier now with their kids. And I named my daughter something very traditional. And all of the nurses and doctors were like, oh, we haven't heard that name in so long. And I always go back to that episode where George is like, I've got a great name, Seven. And then he says like soda, and he's coming up with all these names. And he really was ahead of his time. He was like a pioneer. He was Gwyneth Paltrow before Gwyneth Paltrow in a weird way. So I love that too. There's just so many with him.
Yeah, and that's the genius of Larry David. And I think in this year's Curb, they actually bring back some, like, he meets this guy Mantle, and he says, oh, have you ever thought of these? And he thought of silly names like that. So it's pretty funny. So listen, our podcast, for the most part, we've interviewed over 150 guest stars. I mean, we think that's the foundation of the show, right? Like, the big four are great, but like, what other show do you remember guest stars so significantly? You mentioned The Office, but you know all the main characters, but you never really remember, like, oh, I remember that episode with so and so. So for our money, and we'll go through them, but I know friend of the show with us, Providence alum, our boy John O'Hurley, he's got to be one of the top ones for you, right?
He's amazing. He's amazing. He's so good. He's so funny. And he's always also been very nice to me. Like anytime I've reached out to him, anytime I've, you know, asked him to read anything of mine, he is a very nice person. He's very good friends with a theater professor I had at Providence College, who I love dearly, who came to my wedding. He's just the most wonderful man. And they're friends from when they were students at Providence in like the 70s. So, cannot say enough nice things about him. He is just awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, he was a joy to talk to for us too. He was watching the Red Sox spring training game in the background when he was talking to us. Like, that was very, I thought that was very Boston-like. Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned, Michael Scott earlier talking about Kramer, and that was actually a really good comparison. I never thought about that, how they both kind of detach from reality, I guess, is what you were getting at. It makes sense. But it's interesting because you didn't mention the show's name, but you did say that there was a show that you just recently watched where they did get together, right? Because every show has them get together. Even The Office had them get together, right? There's no show. The Cheers was a great show we loved, but Dan and him, and then with Chris, it Seinfeld's the only show that they stuck to their no hugging policy, and for that, I think it always will be at the top because cherished laughter over everything else, right? So I just wanted to get your take on that because you did bring up other shows and I'm sure you've been binging now that things are on Netflix and things like that. Like, is there anything in your mind that even compares to Seinfeld? And if so, like what makes Seinfeld above them if they don't compare, if that makes sense?
No, so the show I was thinking, well, okay, one thing I'll say is The episode, and I think it must have been in the first or second season, because again, I have certain ones that I saw so many times just because of the DVDs. That was all I had in my room, was like a DVD player. The episode where Elaine and Jerry do get together and they try to just have sex with no relationship.
Yeah, sex to save the friendship. Yeah.
I didn't like that episode. And there's not a lot of them I don't like, but there were certain ones that I was like, eh, and I didn't like that one because I didn't like the idea. I just like them being friends. No, but the only other show that I love as much is The Office. And it's only up until the point Michael Scott leaves. When Michael Scott leaves The Office, I have no interest after that. I never watch those episodes. But I think that he is genius. I love watching him. I watch them all the time. I yell at my husband because I'm like, you didn't watch it close enough. You missed this. You missed that. And he's like, I get it. Why are you so crazy? But the show that I was referring to, which might be like blasphemy for me to say this on your podcast, but during my maternity leave, you know, you guys know you're up at like all hours of the night, and I didn't want to watch anything intense because it's scary at 3 in the morning to be up. So I watched Friends from the beginning, and I liked it. It was an easy, but it's not funny in the same way that Seinfeld is funny. Like it's a lower level of, and I don't mean it as a lower level of, it's a little bit more slapstick comedy.
Yeah, you could say it. It's not as good as Seinfeld. We agree.
Yeah,
listen, there's no, your mother's not going to know any of the lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, like you said, it's an easy thing to put on in the background and not have to think about it. It's kind of funny, exactly. But yeah.
And I love Jennifer Aniston. I love the style. It's very nostalgic. You know, it's very easy to watch. But what was funny was the characters that got together were Joey and Rachel. And to me, they had such a platonic relationship. And it's like a 7 or 8 maybe episode arc. And yeah, it was the hardest.
Jumped the shark way before that, in my opinion. But to your point, what are we doing at this point? These two are getting together now too?
I was like, oh, this is, and I almost just had to like grin and bear it. Cause at that point I'm like, I'm too far in. I got to finish this. But no, so I'm so glad that Jerry and Elaine never got together really, because I also think it gave Elaine, I think it would have, in a weird way, kind of cheapened her role, not because of anything in a feminist way like that. I just more mean she was her own character and she had her own love interests and she was a member of the four. She wasn't Jerry's girlfriend. She wasn't Jerry's love interest. She was a force. And so she had a little bit more of a male attitude toward a lot of things, which I appreciated because it wasn't your typical, I don't know, female character. So I was very happy that they kept it separate.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, like a male force. I mean, it probably had to do with 90% of the writers were male, but one of the writers we spoke to, Peter Melman, who wrote, what is it? The Implant. He wrote all these famous episodes, the Hamptons, I Was in the Pool, the whole thing. He said Elaine was the easiest to write for, believe it or not. So, yeah. So it was just like, again, it's relatability. I don't think it has to do with the sexes per se, but funny's funny, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned Friends, things you didn't like there. So I'm just going to give you a couple quick hitters. You tell me how you felt about this. Killing Susan.
I kind of liked it. Not because I didn't like her. Not because I didn't like, I liked Susan. I really did. I thought she had a funny way about her. And she actually reminds me of some women I know who have a little bit of more of that deadpan delivery. And it's not because they don't have a lot going on. They're just like, it's their way of talking. I really liked her. And she made me laugh a lot. The way she talked to George. But I think it was unexpected. And it was kind of what the show needed. It needed a little change up, you know? And it was so funny seeing George react to it, because it's like, it's so bad. Your fiance dies. She's licking those cheap ass envelopes. And you know, he wants to just like dance his way out of the hospital, but he has to then go through the stages of grief. And then he joins the charity board. And it's just like, it's so a situation he would be in and wouldn't know how to navigate.
Right. I mean, yeah, for some reason that one just never sat well with me. I don't know. Like killing her off. They could have done another way, but I think there's a lot to it. That was Larry David's last episode. I think it was a big F you to everybody, and Larry just kind of wants to go out with a bang. He obviously came back for the finale, which is my next question. You know, a polarizing episode for many. A lot of hype, a lot of pressure. I think the more now that we watch it multiple times, we're pretty fair about it. We like it. We don't crush it, but we'd love to hear your thoughts on the finale. Did you like it?
Here's what I'll say. I never like finales ever. And it's because I don't like, there's actually a lot of shows, Friday Night Lights. I just finished Veep. I made myself finish it, but I didn't want to, where I just won't watch either the last season or the last episode, because then in my mind, it just lives on in perpetuity. Like people are just, you know, they're in the apartment, they're having, you know, a bowl of cereal, they're going to the coffee shop. I like that. And that's because I'm so crazy. And I like the comfort of thinking these people just, it never ended. I didn't like how they were going to be in jail. It made me sad. But the other part of it I will say is I reference it a lot in my day-to-day life when I'm talking about a person, or if I'm talking about someone and I'm talking about a lot of different characters, I'll always say like, oh, it's going to be like the last episode of Seinfeld. We're going to bring everybody in and they can whatever. Like it comes up a lot in conversation for me. So I think in that sense, it couldn't have been that bad because I still think about it sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that because I thought about it now. I never finished Veep either. Veep is an amazing show and I just stopped right before that ended. And it's odd how that happens. I think it might be
I'm not going to spoil it, but the ending is sad. Like it left me with, but you know what? You know what the weird thing is? It was sad, but it was fitting. And with Seinfeld, I didn't think it needed to be that drastic of an ending. I thought it could have, it was a show about nothing. So I thought it could have ended like, okay, can I just give an example? In Friends, they have to wrap a lot of things up. You know, Monica gets pregnant, whatever. They're wrapping it up. And then as they're leaving, they say, let's go get a cup of coffee. And Chandler says, where should we go? As like a joke of course, we're going to go to the coffee shop. And there's something nice about the idea of it's going to keep going. Like, I thought they could have ended it in Jerry's apartment, sitting on the couch. Elaine grabs the remote and says, like, what's on today? Eating a bowl of popcorn. You know what I mean? End it like it always has been, I guess.
So you're loving the Friends finale, it sounds like.
I didn't. Yeah. It was. it worked for me. Like, it made sense.
To your point, something that good, like, no matter what they did, Sopranos, you name it, one's ever going to be happy.
Exactly.
Because of for me, I'll tell you, like, I thought, again, I know you like the later years. I thought they should have ended after season 5. George gets that job with the Yankees and that's it. Off into the sunset and that's it. Like right at the peak, ended it.
But then you would have missed so much.
I would have.
Yeah. The finales, I always like it. My whole thing is the Super Bowl. It's like the Super Bowl. It's like some people don't watch the entire football season and they tune in for the Super Bowl and they're like, what is this? I'm disappointed. Why is the Super Bowl so whatever? They have all these comments about it. I'm like, you weren't watching football all year. Now you just jump into the Super Bowl and you have all these comments on it. Like, that's what the finale is. Like, people weren't, it's like everyone has their ideas of what it should have ended, how it should have ended, but there's only, end, there's no right way to do it is how I'm getting it, you know? So everyone's going to be.
And it's probably a lot of pressure when a show is so loved by so many people to do something kind of larger than what you typically do for a normal episode. And I kind of think that's where a lot of shows make a mistake, because you should just probably treat it like a normal episode, because that's why people like your show in the first place. So maybe if they had just treated it, and I do like a little bit of seeing all the characters. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, there was an homage, you know, that was Larry David being loyal. That was Jerry Seinfeld being loyal to those people. What's that?
Which is really nice, actually. I never thought.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to think of it from that perspective. Like, they did what they wanted to do and it's their thing. So you have to kind of respect that too. Right. And
I do actually, now that I think of it like that, you've changed my mind.
Grace, favorite Jerry girlfriend.
Okay. Let me think for a sec. Favorite Jerry girlfriend. I wish I had like a list of all of their,
we can ramble some off. Like,
I know Terry Hatcher. I know,
Dolores.
I'm Who's the one he proposes to? She's kind of like the other Jerry.
Janine Garofalo.
It's not her, but I just wanted to remember her name. Rattle me up some more, and I'll tell you which one I like.
Winona.
It was the Cigar Store Indian. You got Dolores, played by Susan Walters. You got Sharon, who played by Paula Marshall, who was the NYU girl in the, you know, the, not that there's anything wrong with that episode.
Which one I like, and she's on another sitcom, and I don't even know if this is PC, this episode anymore. I don't even know if they show it, but I like the girlfriend who looks different in different lighting. Like when she's
an interesting one. Yeah.
Versus I like that one because it's so mean. And it's funny though, how they're like, oh, she looks like when Kramer sees her in the coffee shop and he's like, who? And they all keep getting afraid of her. I like her. And I think she's in another show. She's in like Malcolm in the Middle or something, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the Jerry's girlfriends, they were sort of mean to in different ways, right? You got man hands, you got all different. I mean, there's just that element of superficiality that I think made Jerry. And it was funny, you mentioned earlier, and I meant to ask or kind of point this out, but you had mentioned that you saw that interview with Jerry where he's not the best actor, but you mentioned that he had this charm or this sort of, it's hard to explain, but we've talked to many of the guest stars who played his girlfriend. And they all said the same thing that you picked up on from just watching on the show is that he had this like it factor, this like, almost like radiant thing where it was like, he had something you could tell it was there, whatever that was, he had it. And so it's interesting that you pick up on that just from sort of watching the show, because he had that thing of making Elaine laugh, like you mentioned, right? And that was genuine. And I think most sitcoms don't have that. Most sitcoms have actors trying to be funny in some way. He was just being himself. In that episode where he's like, am I funny now? Like, he's just funny, right? So,
And he
not
always,
really a question there, but just, you know.
He always has like a smile that's about to break into a laugh. Like, you know, he's going to crack. And in some episodes, you can just see him cracking. Like some of them, it's just very obvious that he is laughing during the take. And I think that would make me laugh too, if I was acting beside him. But yeah, you're right about the girlfriends. Like, I guess when I really think about it, I wasn't that crazy about any of them. And it's no slight to any of the actresses. It's just like, they never seemed, I can't think of any that seemed very important to the show for more than an episode or two. Like, he never kept girlfriends for a very long time, unless I'm forgetting.
No, the only one that he kept for three episodes was Rachel.
Rachel.
Who he made out with her during Schindler's List.
Yes.
George Caesar. I was in the pool.
And her father.
Exactly.
You gotta hit the road, no Schindler's List. Yeah. I wasn't, yeah. And she was kind of, yeah. I liked her, but I don't know, the girlfriends were never. See, I didn't realize that you guys have so many like celebs that you have on here. So now I feel like I have to censor myself.
Hey, you can rip them. It's all good.
It's all good. Never, because I love all of them. But I'm just saying, like, I didn't realize that I was.
What? So do you ever, you know, you're on the Howie Carr show, of course. Do you ever slip Seinfeld references to him? Does he get it?
He is not a huge Seinfeld guy. He might argue with me on that and say, no, I am, but I don't think he really is. But he knows certain ones now because I've referenced them and his producer has referenced them a lot. Like, one we always say is, it's not a lie if you believe it. That comes up a lot in politics.
Right.
And also one I reference a lot nowadays is the George Costanza, if everything I do is wrong, then the opposite of that has to be right. So there are certain things that we bring up and that he knows now. But no, I don't think he would. If I drop a quote, I don't think he would immediately know.
Right. It's always fun to do that, even if people don't get it. I try and do that too sometimes. But
people who listen get it. Like, people will text in, and sometimes I'll drop one and I'll say, if you know what that's from, or like,
well, that's why we reached out to you, because I believe I saw a Seinfeld reference on Twitter and I was like, oh, we got a fan. And you know, that's why we reached out. We're always looking for references out there in the real world, if you will. I don't know if Twitter is really the real world, but you get it. But you mentioned earlier, and I know that, you know, you have a theater background, right? Was that part of your career goal to do acting and go into that, or you just did it as a sort of you liked it and then you found yourself moving more towards, you know, hosting and things like that? Or was there ever a time when you're interested in like acting or going?
I was for a very long time. I loved it in college. I thought about doing it after and really going for it, you know, and trying, but you have to want it so bad and you have to be really, really willing to face a lot of rejection and a lot of uncertainty. And I'm someone who, I think I really like routine and I like, a constant in my life, whether it's a 9 to 5 or whatever. And so it intimidated me too much. And I do look back sometimes and think like, wow, cause I give so much credit to people who really try it. But, I saw this thing the other day and it made me feel a little bit better. It was Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. And she was giving advice to actors. And she said, my advice would be if there's anything else you can do that brings you any sort of joy and that you can make money at, do that instead. Because it's really hard and there's a lot of down as much as there can be up. And you have to be in it for that. You have to be buckled up and ready for the down. And so that made me happy because I'm like, as much as I don't act like I did when I was in college, I also get to use a lot of, I get to have a lot of fun. I get to be creative and I didn't have to have a million doors slammed in my face. And I give those people so much credit because, and that's why I always find it so amazing. Like when you read about, I'm always fascinated by people in sitcoms, especially during that time period in the 90s, because some of them, yes, had connections and, you know, there's nepotism and stuff like that. But then every once in a while, you read about someone who's just like, who was just grinding for years and years and years and went to this pilot and this pilot and this pilot. And then finally somebody at NBC said, I like him for this. Let's pluck him in here and we'll try this. We'll swap this person out. And then they make it. And it's like that to me, hearing those stories, I always find that so cool. Not so much the people who had an uncle who worked at whatever, but the people who were just talented and just were in it for the long haul. I think that's awesome.
It's funny you say that. Our very first guest on the podcast was this guy, Anthony Stark, who's Jimmy, if you know Jimmy from Seinfeld.
I love Jimmy.
And he told the exact story of that, of someone who was on that show with him who grinded. And he thought he was so great. And it was Bryan Cranston as Tim Whatley. And then as you just mentioned, next thing you know, they found that Walter White for him and the rest is history, right? So
one of my favorite memories of doing that show, and particularly I was happy that, you know, I read Bryan Cranston's fantastic memoir. I think it's called A Life in Parts. But it's a fantastic memoir. And he talked a lot about working on Seinfeld, you know, what a fun experience it was. I remember meeting him. I was very struck by him because, you know, he was just a kind of knock around actor like I was, right? But he was older. You know, I was maybe 32, something like that, and he was like around 40, you know. And I remember meeting the guy, and he's such a charming human being, right? Mm. And good looking and really good actor and funny. And I remember kind of looking at him going, God, yeah, what a business. I wonder why this guy never made it. You know, I thought he's 40 years old, the jig is up, you know, nothing's gonna happen here, you know. Like, nice guy, you know. And but I remember having that thought, like, what a fucked up business if this guy can't become a star. And of course, a few years later, you know, Malcolm in the Middle kind of gave him a higher profile. It was really about 10 years later, maybe 12 years later, that he kind of broke through as Walter White on Breaking Bad. And the interesting story about that is it wasn't because of Malcolm in the Middle or anything else. It was because Vince Gilligan, who created Breaking Bad, had written this one episode of The X-Files where Bryan Cranston did a guest spot. And he did this kind of turn, apparently, in the guest spot where he went from good guy to bad guy in the same episode. And he thought years later, he was writing Walter White. He was thinking, I need Bryan Cranston because I need a guy who can make that turn and the audience goes with him. You know, so I always found that a very interesting story.
So and a lot of these character actors, it's just they do one Seinfeld, they do one Friends, they do Matlock, Murder, you name it. It's a tough grind. But for the most part, most of them feel so rewarded by it all. And to be a part of Seinfeld, for instance, it's incredible. So, all right. So we talked about the highs of Seinfeld.
Okay. Oh, I love this. This is so fun.
You know what I mean? Like, we love talking about our bottom five. Like, what are your, like, I know you're not show person per se, but, or if you want to use moments, but what are the worst episodes you remember? You mentioned the deal, when Elaine and Jerry got together. We'll put that one to the side. What other ones do you like when you're flipping through? I'm skipping that one.
One that I came across the other day and I thought was very goofy was the pig man. The man with the pig face in the hospital. I thought that was
Briss, if I'm not mistaken, right?
The Briss.
Yeah.
That part of it I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Kramer looking for the guy who was like a pig in the hospital. I was kind of like, this is a little.
Tony didn't like that either. Yeah. He liked the pig.
I was going to say, I think that was the Briss. We did a review of the Briss. I wasn't a big fan of the pig man either, but there are some highlights of that episode, but that's not one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And let me think. Because there's definitely some where I'll get to it and I'll be like, but I don't know if I could think of them off the top of my head. I should have prepped for that. I don't know. I don't think I. See, I was only focused on the ones I really like. No, I do have one. I have one more I'll give you. I don't like the voice one where they talk about the stomach having a voice. I don't think that's funny.
We just reviewed that one and we both agreed with that as well. The voice the voice is a bit,
just goofy.
Not great.
It's goofy and it just keeps happening. And I just, not a fan. And then I'm trying to think if there was, there I go again. I'm going back to all the ones I like. I was just going to say though, I love any with Lloyd Braun. I love Lloyd Braun. I love that whole thing with the, and can I say one more quote I really like? You can splice.
Which Lloyd Braun?
It sounds like the later Lloyd Braun is what I'm thinking.
Later Lloyd Braun. Yeah. At the movie theater with the hot dog when the guy goes, are you see?
Perfectly sane food to eat.
Right. Yes. I love that. One line that we used to say all the time, and I still say it, and like very few people know what I'm talking about, is after that whole episode where George thinks the cashier took his $20 with the lips on it or whatever. And then he sees her in the park on a horse. And then there's a part in it where he sees her again. And he says something like, not so tough when you're not on your horse. And I say that all the time to people. Like if someone's giving me a hard time, I'll be like, not so tough when you're not on your horse. And people just look at me and go, what are you talking about? What horse? But I love that whole interaction.
That's a good pull. It's a good pull.
That's a deep cut. Yeah.
It comes
in. There's a lot of those lines. Like I like, when George takes a coffee and he goes, you call this coffee? And then Mrs. Enright sees him. Mrs. Enright, like not everyone might get that line, but for those that do, it's a similar kind of thought process there. But yeah, Lloyd Braun's, it's funny. We talked to both Lloyd Braun's.
I can't remember what the first one looked like.
He was in the non-fat yogurt
episode.
Yes.
A little bit more polished than the one that goes crazy, which was kind of the original Lloyd Braun was supposed to be the person that George could never be. And his mom loved Lloyd Braun. He can't be more like Lloyd Braun. So he was a bit more polished and good looking. He hit on Elaine, ends up going out with Elaine a little bit.
Remember him.
Funny story. They wanted him back. He's Canadian. His visa wasn't renewed, couldn't come back. So they got the other guy.
And what else is he in though? Cause he's been in
Police Academy is probably the big one. You may have seen him in. He was also in Silicon Valley, which was on HBO, which is a great show if you haven't watched it, with Seinfeld alum Berg and Schaefer.
But I'm guessing you saw him on this podcast and Make Me Thirsty. That's probably what's in your head.
Yes, you're right.
Yes.
No, there's something else that he's in that I'm not thinking of right now. But yeah, I love Lori Brown. But guys, you asked me which ones I don't like, and I'm totally blanking. The
Well,
boy.
let's go back to like, and we mentioned Peterman. I mean, for my money, you talk about moments. Like, what about Bookman as a moment for you?
I love that moment. I remember watching that for the first time and not even knowing really what he was. I didn't know what he was pulling it from, but I knew that it was something that had been done a million times before. Like, I knew it looked like an old TV show, the way he was interrogating Jerry. And I thought it was so funny. And he just, the cadence he had, and Jerry looking like he was gonna crack up when he's like, "Oh, you think you're smart, punk?" Like, blah, blah, blah. Just the rhythm of it was so great. I really love that whole thing. And yeah, he was probably one of my favorite guest characters
Yeah,
because
I mean he's up there for a lot of people. You know, that was Larry Charles, and we tend to kind of lean towards those earlier seasons with Larry Charles as a writer. I know Chris mentioned Peter Melman earlier, who also is a great writer, but don't sleep on those earlier years. I know you said you watched those DVDs, but there was a darkness to those earlier years, a little grittiness. A little more like, you know, the limo has neo-Nazis and guns. The Bookman has the character you're talking about. The subway episode has, like, you know, George getting robbed and Kramer on the subway getting mugged. I mean, there's a lot going on. The revenge where George, you know, slips a Mickey. There's just, you know, the Keith Hernandez episode is a favorite early on. So there's these pieces. I know you're a big fan of the Elaine, Crazy Joe DiVola. I'm a day person. I mean, Joe DiVola, right? The darkness that gets lost in the later years. So,
Yeah, and you watch the Crazy Joe DiVola one, and you're like, now that I'm older, and I watch that. He's so good, that guy. He is so good. But I would be like, I thought it was so funny when I was younger, and now I'm older, and I still think it's so funny, but it's scary. Like, he's really leaning into her. And when she says, he's like, want to come see the photos in the dark room? And she says, I'm a J person. That to me is one of the best lines. And something else I just thought of is I love, I'm all over the place and I apologize, but I love Jerry's mom. I find there's something so comforting about her. And I was watching an episode the other day and it reminded me of my mom and she doesn't really remind me of my mom in a lot of ways, but when Jerry's talking about someone, I can't remember who it is, who doesn't like him. And she says, how could anyone not like you? What's there not to like? And he's like, some people don't like me. That's ridiculous. And that reminded me of my mom because that's how moms think. They're like, there's no world in which someone might not like you. But I love her and I love Morty, right? Do I have that right? Yeah.
Well, it's so funny how Estelle is the complete opposite of Helen, pretty much. Can't
I
stand
love
the two of
listening
them.
to that. I'm like, I guess I'm not really a hater because I don't have a lot of. And you know what's so funny is I love the Kathy Griffin episodes.
Look at you. You love
Which
these later seasons.
I
Well,
do. I love that one. I think she's so funny in it. And I'm not like her biggest. I'm
that's a
not.
true story, I believe, if I'm not
It
mistaken,
is, yeah. The boss.
that she actually had been saying stuff, kind of doing a bit on Jerry and how he was mean to her at some club or something to this effect. So Jerry's like, all right, come on, you know, you're a guest star now. We'll do that as a story. Like in real life, like there was a snub happened and she ended up going on stage and talking about how Jerry snubbed her and this kind of thing. And then so they wrote it into the show. That's the story I believe that came out of that.
Can I ask you guys a question since you're Seinfeld experts and you know all the writers and stuff? My sister was showing me, and I think I had seen it in one of the DVD like extras. One of the writers telling the story of Festivus and
Dan
how
O'Keefe. We've had him on, yeah.
it was so, like you said about the darkness, it was so, he was so funny and his delivery talking about it, he wasn't trying to be funny. But he was just explaining how it was part of his childhood. And I love the extra stuff. I love the behind the scenes. I love
Yeah.
hearing how things happen.
Dan O'Keefe, went to Harvard up there, but he didn't want that to air. like he was telling that story essentially in the writer's room, and then like, oh no, we're using that. And you know, he's
his brother actually told the story at a party, is how it really happened. It was brother was telling the story at a party, not even in the writer's room, and they're like, we're using this, and he's like, we're not using it. It's my life. I was traumatized by it.
And it was so good. Like that stuff is just awesome. I just love how they come up with everything.
Well, catch up on our episodes. We got 107 episodes of backstories and behind the scenes.
I'm going to catch up, guys. I promise.
That's the beauty of the show. And you mentioned before, like, oh, I laughed when I was a kid, and I'm still laughing now. And we had Chuck Klosterman. You should get him on your show. He's a writer. He wrote this book, The 90s. He mentioned George Costanza being like Charlie Brown. Like, you love him as a kid and you kind of still love him as an adult. Like they have that, all these characters you mentioned, right? Like I always mention my grandmother from Ireland, her favorite was Kramer. Oh, I love that Kramer. You know, everyone.
My grandmother's favorite too was Kramer. She loved when he said, when he was at the thrift store and he said, I've changed my mind. I'm going to build a roller coaster. She thought that was so funny. That was like her favorite.
He had this thing about him where he was just relatable to everyone, like on the show and obviously like at home. So incredible stuff. So listen, Grace, what I'm going to tell you, this has been amazing. We can't thank you enough for the time.
Guys, can I ask you, do you think I'm a real fan or am I a phony?
Oh no, you're a real fan. I think you're a real fan. You just like episodes. Some episodes we don't like, but that's the beauty of the show. People don't like a lot of episodes we like, but that's still all the fans. Everyone's still a real fan for sure.
Which, wait, can I ask you guys, like, which for each of you is your least favorite episode?
For me, it's the dealership. When they're at the car dealership.
With the candy?
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Oh, really, it's free candy. That's a great episode.
The millennium, I can't stand.
The millennium with the New Year's Eve party.
Correct.
Love that one.
I don't listen. That's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of the show.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah, the Susie's another bad one. Both of those I agree with. I don't like the Susie either.
It's well, we kind of started from the beginning, so it's different. And we noticed when people start, with the reruns, there's just a different perspective. So we saw the characters grow. And you mentioned seasons 1 and 2 is a little slow and stale, but for me, like that was foundational, right? They were like building blocks to something that became great. And like I said, I thought it could end it, or even season 5. Yes, we would have missed Jimmy and a lot of stuff. But, that's the beauty of the show. But, believe me, we talk about the dealership on Twitter. People love it.
We're in the minority on that. So it's not like we're – the Frogger's another one I can't stand. And people love the Frogger. I don't know. It's hard to
– I love the Frogger.
Yeah, it's a thing. Like,
but do you ever think like – and I don't know. You guys might have it different. And then I promise I'll log off because –
Hold on. The term we use a lot, I believe it's a Boston term, pink hats. Have you heard that term? I think Barstool probably started it back in the day. But long story short, it's when the Red Sox got good again and people started wearing jerseys and pink hats. And like, it's becoming a fan after the fact. So that's what we talk about that about the later seasons. We call them pink hat fans.
Oh, like you guys are originalists.
Well, no. not originalists, but favor. Like, listen, you're a Red Sox fan, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I mean, I...
Well, like...
I live here, so I think... I am. My grandfather would be so disappointed. He's like, Grace, I watch every single game my whole life. Yes, I'm a Red Sox fan. Totally. Right, and so I'm killing. So yes, 100%.
Kurt Schilling, so it's like liking, some of the guys who built it, like Mike Greenwell and guys like that, Wade Boggs, versus liking Big Poppy. You know what I mean? Not that
liken to a band usually too. Like, if you're a fan of name a band you like, I'm sure there's albums you like more than other ones, right? Like, or songs you like more than other ones. If you argue with your friends over which one's your favorite, that's what this is. That's why it's great, right? It's just.
Would you ever think too, like, did you watch these shows by yourself or did you watch them with anyone in your life?
by myself for the most part. I always watch TV by myself if I can.
See, that's what, you know, because you were able to, and I feel like this about The Office. I know what I think is funny about The Office. I know what parts I really like, but I do think because Seinfeld was on since I was so young, I don't know if I would watch, for example, The Car Dealership and think it was funny. But when I watched it with my parents, my mom thought it was so funny. And so that affected how I saw it, because I thought like, oh, this is funny. Ha 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 ha. But I don't know.
That's a great point.
Never watched it with anyone. If I had sat by myself, I don't know what I would think was funny from it. But it was always part of my life since I was young.
Excellent point. I can't argue that point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm speechless. I'm without speech.
I'm without speech.
So like, I have no business being here because like.
No, do you still have those DVDs? Do you still have those DVDs at a DVD player?
Somewhere.
Yeah, you should.
I got them right here.
And
I
watched all the extras because there was like, at a certain point, I couldn't watch, the Chinese restaurant episode, yeah. Parking garage. Like I couldn't watch them anymore because there was only so many on a CD. So I'd watch all the extras and I'd find out all this information about it and all these things. And I was like 12 and my mom's like, go to bed. This is not things you need to know. But yeah, I loved all of those. And I did love the early ones, but I don't know.
Interesting. You mentioned you watched it as a kid with your parents, and you mentioned it sounds like it was more of the later years, which I think makes more sense because my daughters are getting, I mean, I've been telling them about Seinfeld for a long time and they've seen some episodes, but every time they want to see an episode, I have to think to myself, like, can I watch this with them? Because there's a lot going on in these episodes that are not for kids. Right. So That's another interesting part to me of like getting into it that young, maybe those are the ones you were seeing. And then that's, you know what I'm saying? So maybe they became more part of your, like you said, your brain of like, oh, I've seen this one. My mom laughed at it. It's funny. Whereas you're not laughing at, you know, coffee's not coffee, coffee sex at midnight, in the phone message episode or things like that. Right. Because
And it's funny because those ones where they get a little bit more risque, even like the contest. Yeah. I don't mean to sound like a prude. I don't know. It's like not, I know that's like everybody's favorite and it is funny and I get it. I get it, but I just don't love it.
Yeah. No, and I get it.
I think it's probably because like you said, when I was so young, it was like, that wasn't one we watched. We'd skip that and go on to the next, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just, yeah, that would have been awkward or just.
That was Estelle's first episode, which kind of makes that crazy in the realm of the show itself, that's how they introduce you to his mob with the first scene in the hospital. That was the first time we see Estelle, if you're like watching it live, which is kind of crazy.
That part. See, this is why I always say I think of it in moments and not in episodes, because like just like that, I said to you, I'm not that crazy about the contest. Like I, you know. But that scene where he's describing his mom and what her reaction was, and he's like, oh, she fell over. Oh, George, like that scene to me is hysterical. So again, it just depends on, you know,
I like it. Moments. We do this thing. We analyze every show. We call it two up and two down. So we give two positives every show and then two negatives, but then we grade it. So it's fun that even the shows we hate, we give two positives, and the shows we love, we have to give like two negatives. So
there's always going to be something in an episode where you're like, oh, that was funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. It's all on a curve. Like seasons 8 and 9 are still better than anything that Friends could put out in our mind. So
yes. No, I would agree.
Cool. Well, Grace, this has been a blast.
I could keep you guys. I'm going to let you go.
No, like so happy you joined us. Like, and just following your career, you know, Milton Mass to like, everything you're doing on the radio and podcast world, seeing you on broadcast news, it's phenomenal. Keep it up. We hope you just keep going straight in that direction. So, and your Seinfeld knowledge, incredible.
We're
glad you did this because I know most of your fans just think you do politics, but no, are well-rounded, and we're so glad we got to see a little bit of.
Yeah, and that is the beauty of the show too, right? It brings everyone together. So we don't do any, just talking funny. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. And you know what I'll tell people? If you're like, oh, I didn't know she has in politics. If you don't like my politics, like just watch this episode and then move on with your life. Don't look into anything else. Just let this be how you know me and then move on. This
Great.
was so fun. Oh, you know what was one I just thought of from the Chinese restaurant one? When Jerry says to Elaine, if you go over there and eat an egg roll, I'll give you $20. And she looks at George and she says, would you do it? And he goes, for $20, I'd stick my face in their soup and blow. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's so good because sometimes if someone offers you $20, I always think of that, like, for $20, stick my face in their soup and blow. Do you ever notice that with Seinfeld people, this last thing I'll say, I was worried I was going to come on here and it was going to be like a quiz. Like, you know
We
how people,
don't do
you don't do
trivia.
quizzes.
We don't do trivia. We don't
You know
do
how people get like
quizzes.
that though when they're passionate about something and it's like, oh, you like the Rolling Stones? Name five songs. And it's like,
Yeah,
because
no, we don't do.
I know Seinfeld, but like I don't have everybody's name at the top of my head.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, as soon as you like, we also read. Like, you think of it in moments, which a lot of people do, which we do also. As I mentioned, we do two up, two down. We call out moments. So not everyone has every list of all the episodes memorized, right? So we're not going to like put you on the spot and be like, you know, name the episode that da 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 da. You know, because not
Yeah.
it's not
You don't know it. And then I'm like, you're not a real fan. Okay, guys, I'll let you go. Thank you so much. I'm literally, I said,
Thank you.
I don't know if you guys were listening today, probably not, but somebody called in and they said something about, I don't even know what they were talking about, but I said, oh, thank you so much. You just give me a reason to do a shameless plug. And I said, I'm so honored I got asked to be on this like legendary Seinfeld. I'll send you
Nick,
guys
I'm
the
so glad you brought up Seinfeld because you just gave me such a nice excuse to plug something. So this has been a very busy day for me. This morning I was able to go on Fox and Friends First at 5 a.m. before even the news of Nikki Haley stepping down broke and or suspending her campaign, however you want to explain it. I tweeted that out so people can see it. And then tonight I'm doing a podcast. This is a non-political podcast, which I never really do, and I'm so excited to talk about stuff that has nothing to do with Democrats or Republicans. I'm going on the This Podcast Is Making Me Thirsty podcast. And it's all about Seinfeld. It's all about like your favorite episodes, your favorite characters. And some people might be thinking, wow, they have a podcast about something that's that old. But I'm really excited. And the guys do a really good job. They've had on some great guests. I don't know what they're thinking having me on, but I'm honored to be asked.
Good for you, Jack.
You know what, Jared? They said to me, do you have any favorite episodes? I said, I'm not really an episode person. I'm more of a moment person. Like, I remember certain moments. And I said, I have a lot of quotes that I like to use all the time. And that is one of them. Good for you, Jack. I love the line from Elaine when she's realizing that the guy she's dating, Joe, is crazy, Joe Davola. And she says, she shows up at his house and he says, do you want to come see the photos in my dark room? And she says, no, I'll stay out here. I'm a day person. That's one of my all-time favorites. So I wrote a bunch of them, obviously Bookman being one, and we're gonna go over all of them tonight. I'll make sure I let you guys know where you can catch that, but that'll be fun. Okay, I'll let you go. I'm
Thank you,
rambling.
Grace. Have a
Thanks,
good day.
Grace.
Thanks so
Thank you
much.
so much.
Cheers.